You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Nature Connection show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm delighted to welcome today to Nature Connections Julian Barnard, who is the founder of Healing Herbs Batch Flower Remedies and the author of a series of books about Dr. Batch's essences. So a big welcome to the show, Julian.
Hello, it's very nice to see you. And well, great to be able to talk with you this way.
Absolutely. Yes, aren't we lucky that we can talk in this way and that so many people can share in our conversation at the same time. So I think you know, and many people listening will know if they've heard me talk before, I'm a big, big fan of the Batch or Bach flower remedies. They form a large part of my own daily life and my own professional practice. And so it's always a great honour to talk to you because you have been so instrumental in their becoming so used, both within the public realm and in the professional realm as well.
Yes, I mean, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Dr. Bach talks about finding your real journey in life, the thing that you have to do. And I had no idea that this was the way it was going to go for me. I started life as a writer. Well, I trained as an architect, but I think I'd always wanted to do something that was really interesting and was an investigation for me personally, as opposed to working with received knowledge. And it's a long time ago now, actually. I mean, really getting on for nearly 40 years. So I suppose you could say that is my life work.
Is it 40 years approximately that you first heard about the essences?
1976, I think. I started 76, 77. I can't remember exactly. And, it's a long time.
Yeah, so 40 years is a long time, and you've achieved a remarkable amount, and it's lovely to see, and we're going to talk about this today so that other people can go and share everything that you have manifested as a result of all your research. So coming back to the beginning of your journey, can you share with everybody how you found out about Dr. Bach?
Well, every person who, when they encounter Bach flower remedies or any other essence range, they have their own story of, well, this is what happened to me, and each one is equally valid. So mine is not really different to that which you might have or one of our listeners might have. But actually what happened was that I was looking at a collection of secondhand books, and I pulled out this little book, The 12 Healers. And I looked at it and thought, this is really interesting, but I don't understand it. And anyhow, I'm not really interested in medicine. So I put it back on the shelf. And then I thought, no, wait a minute. I know my friend Joy. She would really like this. And so I gave her the book. And at that time, I was working at her house doing painting and decorating. And we used to stop for coffee and began to have a conversation about Dr. Bach and the flower remedies. And it went on right through till lunchtime. So actually, it engaged me because it was so interesting as a subject. And well, it's a long story, but as I say, every person has their own story about how they find the journey into this very, very fascinating subject, because it's about us as individuals. It's not about a blanket treatment for a problem where everybody who has, I don't know, astigmatism in their eyes or they've got some kind of problem with their ears, they will treat them like this. Yeah. The whole subject is about you as an individual, me as an individual, which is why we don't talk about people. We talk about I. This is what I work with. I mean, today, this is, can I see it in the picture? This is the essence that I'm taking today.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what I'm working with now.
Yes. And for people listening to the audience, people won't be able to see that. You just showed me your glass of water.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's really the thing.
Yes. Isn't it amazing that we can wake up each day and say, how do I feel today, and support that for ourselves?
Yes, and see the connection between the way that my life is unfolding and the, if you like, the tensions and the difficulties which hold me back from being not the best that I can be, but what I really am.
Yes.
And that's how Dr. Bach saw the origins of health and disease in his writings, Heal Thyself, because the subtitle of that book was Heal Thyself, the Real Cause and Cure of Disease. And of course, he was talking about himself. He had cancer, and he went looking to understand better what had happened to him. How had he come to that place? And I'm not saying that Bach Flower Remedies can cure cancer. That's not at all what I'm thinking. But that if I feel myself today to be in a position where I'm unhappy, it's in my hands to change it. And I think the flower essences are about introducing change, enabling me to hear, if you like, my inner voice, my teacher, who will say, do you know what? It's like it's the tap on the shoulder to say, do you know what? Maybe you should rethink the way you approach this problem or this relationship or this attitude towards work. So that we try to live more in the present. Well, that's what I'm passionate about anyway. So that's what's important.
Clearly. And look all that you've brought forth as a result of that. Yeah, so how amazing that all this has come forward by you, perchance, which we know was not, but seemingly finding a book. And then, wow, it's extraordinary.
Well, yes, I mean, I don't know whether that's an unusual story, and I think probably it isn't. I suspect that if we were to talk to anyone and really investigated where they'd met the crossroads in their life, they would know, well, there was that time. It's the great romantic, isn't it? It's the, we looked across the room and our eyes met, and then I knew she was the girl for me.
Yes. Well, my story is sort of similar in that it was my hairdresser suggested to me that some challenges that I was having emotionally at the time could be helped. And she knew somebody who could help me. So I was there, like, okay. And this lady was trained in the Bach essences, so.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
And no one story is better or grander or more important than another. It's for the individual, each one of us, to find that road.
And it's interesting, isn't it, in both of the what we've just shared, both of us were given an opportunity and we had a choice.
Yes, absolutely.
And we both decided to go, yeah, I'll have a look at this. And I think that's it.
And probably we're offered that choice many times.
Yeah.
It's the one when we suddenly wake up and hear it that we remember, because the other times where we ignored it, well, that gets forgotten.
Yeah. So that opportunity, if that's the what we would want to call it, led to you. Obviously, there was events in between this, but one of the quite remarkable things I think you did in keeping the conversation linked right back into Edward Bach right now is that you edited and published his collected writings of Dr. Edward Bach, didn't you?
Yes, that was in 1986 that we did that. And I think I should say that Nikki Murray at the Bach Center was probably instrumental in enabling that to happen. But I realized that really, little by little, we were losing contact with the source, the original source of these ideas. And of course, people can discuss, well, where did he get his ideas from? But what he wrote, if ever he got an idea, he wrote about it. This was the thing. He wrote immediately. He discovered his new interest or in a particular plant and what he thought it would be useful for. And I felt it was very, very important that if we're going to be respected as independent and responsible individuals, we should be able to go back to that source and read it for ourselves and not have it interpreted for us.
Yes.
So, I mean, I go back to that tradition, which says is, you know, something like, publish it and let people think for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, it's a very important piece of writing, and also obviously connected you greatly with Dr. Bach's spirit, if that's what we could call it, in where he came from. And
yes,
you've stayed true to that, I think, haven't you, with all the work that's come since?
I've tried to. I mean, look, he was very, very clear. As soon as he found something out, the first thing he did was to tell everybody. Mm. He never sort of held it as a secret. He always wanted to share it with his friends and companions. And I think to the last with his medical colleagues, he was probably rather disappointed that they didn't pay more attention to him, because he saw his discoveries on a convergent course with allopathic medicine and not on a divergent course. And I mean, look, I don't read his writings daily.
No.
Not like a kind of litany for me that I have to kind of read it. But sometimes when I go back to it, I think, do you know what? Actually, that's really nice to see that again and discover again how relevant that is to individual personal discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many things I might quote of him, but the one that really is for me most important is in his book, Free Thyself. He writes in chapter 10, a little headline says, to gain freedom, give freedom. Mm-hmm. And I want freedom. That's it. I've always wanted freedom ever since I was a kid. And so, well, how else can you give freedom than by sharing openly everything that you have?
Mm.
And that's the educational program that we have, which is in the Bach Educational Resource. Everything that I've tried to do to share ideas and to share information among people freely, whether they come from Cuba or from Costa Rica or from, I don't know, anywhere in the world, I really want to share freely how this may be used and helped and applied by any individual for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of flower essence therapy. It's a kind of, it's a free message.
Yes, yes.
A bit like Skype.
Yes, yes, which is how we're recording this. Yes, exactly, yes. So, well, let's talk about your lovely batch educational resource, and we'll flag everybody up to how they can access that later. But if anybody's in a hurry, they can just type that in the search engine. It'll take them straight there.
Indeed.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful place. You can spend hours and probably days in there, because there's so many videos and talks and so much information. Would you like to talk us through a little bit of the variety of things we can find there?
Well, this began maybe 10 or 12 years ago when I was talking with Beth Bruno in Brazil, and alas, she's not with us anymore, but she said, it's fine, Julian, to talk about the remedies and how they work and how you would use them, but people in Brazil don't know the plants that are involved. So please send us pictures of the plants. Well, I trained as a photographer, I mean, so it's easy to take a picture. But then I started to think, you know what would be really exciting? To make a video film about the individual plants, showing it in all its different moods and circumstances. And I've had a lot of help with this with a colleague and friend of mine called Graham Chalifour. And so we got cameras, obviously, and editing suites and all that kind of stuff, and put together material on each of the 38 individual remedies. So let's say, I mean, one that's often forgotten is rock water. But, you know, when you investigate how water works in the landscape, how it comes from the subterranean aquifers and bursts forth as a spring, and what the history is in this. Well, this to me is absolutely fascinating. And so I share the ideas that actually are exciting and interesting for me. And I hope that that enthusiasm comes across, because I don't want to have this as a definitive exposition of this is the way to see this remedy. I want to stimulate other people into thinking about the plants and the world and the environment in which they live, so that not that they go out and discover other essences, but we begin to relate ourselves to the planet on which we exist in a more meaningful and respectful way, if that makes sense.
It does, yes.
And obviously, you know, there are books which tell you lots of very, very good information about, I don't know, take mimulus if you're feeling this, or take larch if you're feeling that. But that, for me, often becomes a rather prescriptive approach to the process, where it's kind of like, you know, it's like a questionnaire. Are you this kind of person? In which case you need that. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go to the tree or the flower, you actually experience something very different in terms of the messaging that is coming from the plant world. Now, you can't exactly quantify how that is, because it's a quality, and it's information about the way the plant communicates. And it doesn't speak to me in English, nor in French or Japanese or any other language. It speaks to me in the language of what actually it is, how it grows, how it exists, how very, very interesting things like how, what's its method of seed distribution? I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether this is of interest to your listeners, but I mean, this is, let's say, take the first remedy that Dr. Bach discovers, impatiens. It generates five seeds in every flower.
Five.
I
didn't know that.
And always 100% germination of the flower to produce the seed. I mean, pollination of the flower to produce the seed. And then when it explodes as a seed pod and the seeds go down, 100% germination of those seeds. It doesn't miss one. Now you compare that with another flower, maybe clematis, which was the second flower that he found, and those floaty seeds which drift away on the air, or maybe one, I don't know, maybe one in 500 or one in 1,000 of those actually land and germinate. So if you think of the seed as the encapsulation of the idea of what this flower is, what this plant is, you can see that there's a very different kind of structure of idea within the plant between clematis and impatiens. And I could tell you that story over and over and over again in relation to all of the different flowers that we use to make the flower essences, because how they propagate and how they live is the story of who they are.
Of course. And I think it's very interesting, because I know when I first started learning about flower essences, and I was teaching myself for quite a few at the beginning, I did work in a very sort of repertory sense. I think that's how many of us start. And it got to the place with me, whereas I knew quite a lot of the essences in the Bach system, but I had no idea what the plants looked like.
Yeah.
And it was when I started to actually find out who they were and take an interest in the physical plant and admire them and recognize them, that everything began to change. It became a living subject.
And also your perception, and this is my experience, my perception of the essence and what it does and how it works, that changes as well. Because when we have a written description, it's a partial truth. It's not a whole.
Yes.
It's an aspect of things.
Yes.
And this becomes very interesting to me when you look at the essences from the sort of repertory of 38. Which ones do people never use? Well, of course, it's the ones either I wouldn't want to be like that, or I don't really get it, I don't understand it, so therefore I can't explore it and understand it within myself. And that certainly applies to vine, to heather, to rock water. I mean, nobody wants to say, I'm a rock water type. But actually, all of us are very fixed in our ideas. But we just don't recognize it. We don't see how that influences the mentality and the structure of the way that we live our lives. So when you go to a rock water spring and you spend time there, you'll see elements of a different world, of a different life. Away, leave your phone behind, no more emails, no computers, just be there and spend a period of time in relation to that essence. And you'll start to learn things, you'll hear things, you'll see things that will give you a different perception. And that will dissolve, or at least adapt and slowly change the structure, the rigid structure of my thinking. So I start to see things as they are, not the way that I project them to be.
Yes, which is actually a very free and open definition of rock water, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's a kind of much easier. If you were to give me that remedy, I would be happy with you saying, Sarah, I think you need this because this will help you be...
free.
Free, yes.
Remember freedom. So, and you could say the same about some of the other essences. I don't know if we have time to talk about this at the moment, but let's say vine, where somebody was telling me the other day that we have a system of monoculture, not just in agriculture, but in our thinking, in all of our relations in society. We are monoculturalists. We only think one way. We've just had an election, so I'm a conservative, or I'm a UKIP, so I'm a monoculturalist. Instead of thinking about the adaptation that might be with our ideas and the fluidity. And the more that we are threatened in our monoculture, the more we use weed killer to destroy everything else. Well, that's vine.
Yes.
And
yes.
Boy, do we need that.
I mean,
it's not just about being violent and angry with other people. It's about not opening ourselves to see where I've come from in the control of my thinking and my approach to life, my relationship with it. So it sounds a bit vague, but it's an exciting journey.
It is, yeah. And I think many people who have used essences and know the batch essences will be very excited by what you're saying. And people for whom this is new, it brings so much depth to the world of flower essences. Now, I know something that you have, one of your more recent areas of research is actually looking not just at how the flower grows and its language, as in how many leaves it's got, how the stem grows, which was covered beautifully in your Form and Function book, but you've started looking at the habitat as well, which I think is also covered in Form and Function, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, I grew up in the Thames Valley, which is an area of chalk land, and then went to live in lots of different parts of the world, but I slowly begin to see that geology is the under structure of soil and habitat. And so, I mean, you can see behind me here, there's a map, and I've put pins in the map to see, well, which plants grow particularly well in that location, and try to understand a little bit more about why. And it's not just the scientific chemical information, but it's actually about sensing the energies that are in the land and trying to figure out the patterning that goes within that. Mm-hmm. So this is a very lovely opportunity for me to kind of perhaps go back to go back to the beginning and rethink some of the assumptions we have about the elements. Mm-hmm. Let's say water. What do we think water is? We all use it as essence makers, but anyhow, I could go on for a long time discussing these ideas, but yep, they're really, it's like an open field to discover new entry into how this relationship between the plants and the flowers and the land on which they grow, how it works.
And what have you found out so far? Have you got any things that you can share? I know it's quite new still.
I would answer that by saying, well, in relation to which remedy do you want to talk? I mean, we could talk about gentian, if you like.
Okay.
Gentian only grows on the hilltops of chalk downland. Now, why doesn't it come down into the valley? Why does it only grow with chalk? Or another one would be serrato. I mean, I've just created at Healing Herbs, with the help of some other people who work there with me, we've created a very large border and put into it chalk. Mm-hmm. From Devon, and planted serrato in that, because that's where serrato really grows, is in chalk, in the limestone cliffs.
Okay.
And the calcareous loving flowers will grow differently if you give them the proper soil. Now, of course, this doesn't mean anything to somebody who wants to use the remedy, but to me, it's learning more about how the plant lives if you give it a chance to be itself.
That's interesting, because I live in a coastal town on the southeast of England. We have a lot of serrato grows on our coast. On the cliffs.
Really?
Well, not actually on the cliffs. But yeah. You find it along by the seaside, yeah.
Well, there you are, you see. So it's an endless fascination to see, and historically, how plants move across the continent or across continents. Mm. So it's a long story.
Well, it's fascinating,
one conclusion, and it's not one ending in that.
Mm. Well, as you said yourself, there is so much to talk about. We're almost at the end of our time now, so if people would like to carry on learning about what you're doing, and I'm sure many of them will, would you tell them where they can come go and find out more?
Well, we're just preparing new websites, in fact. But if you look at www, of course, healingherbs.co.uk, that's, you'll find out about us, about Healing Herbs, and where we live and where we work. And also the same with www.bacheducationalresource.com. .org, because the educational resource is a free to view, as you said, it's almost like a library of films and books and publications. Mm-hmm. And many, many different aspects. Mm-hmm. Of the work with plants and geometry and counseling and relationships and therapy.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating interview on there with the Chinese doctor talking about
one
of my favorites.
Dr. Yingqi Li, yes. He's an amazing man.
Yes, I loved hearing about that, yes.
In Taiwan, but I would say, if we can link the network across the continents, we can connect up and share ideas and share the joy of this work.
Yes.
Absolutely. Which is really what it's about.
It is, absolutely. And I'd just like to add to everything that you were saying, is that we haven't really touched on it today. It's been interwoven into what we're saying. Of course, the whole range of essences that you sell, the Healing Herbs Bach essences,
which are all for sale
in the site. They're actually the range that I use myself in my own practice because of the purity of your essences.
Well, I didn't know that, but thank you.
Yes. So just making sure that everybody knows that as well.
Of course.
Thank you so much, Julian. I really appreciate your time today. I've learned a whole load more by talking to you. It's always a delight to connect with you and with nature in that way.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you, Sarah.
You're very welcome. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.